Welcome to the How I Scaled Service podcast. I'm Caitlin Strempel, founder and CEO of Rising Ranks Digital. We help service-based businesses get to the top of their industry by getting found online. We believe that you have a message that someone needs to hear, and that message can impact the world. Are you interested in becoming our next podcast guest? Stick around to the end and we'll tell you how you can do just that. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to How I Scale Service Podcast. I'm your host, Genesis Amaris Kemp. And today we are chatting with Michael Eichmann, but he's going to introduce himself because he has a lot of cool things that are going on in the background. He's obviously a successful businessman. So who better to explain what he does than Michael? Welcome, Michael.
Thanks for having me on today. Yeah. So I am the founder and wealth manager at Adaptive Wealth Partners based out of Las Vegas, Nevada, serving clients all across the country. We serve clients on financial planning, investment management, income strategies, really just looking at the opportunities that our clients have and making the most of the work that they've done in their financial journey to take steps and improve that journey and accomplish their goals. And a lot of times it's bringing up conversations that they either are uncomfortable having to begin with, because finances tend to be uncomfortable for most of us to talk about, or maybe it's something that they didn't even know that they could have an option to do. And we bring that to the forefront, figure out where they need to be in the future and what they can do today to make sure they get there.
So what led you to get involved in the finance industry? Was it your background or was it something that you just fell into out of necessity?
It definitely wasn't my first stop in life. My journey has definitely been just that, a journey. I started out coaching high school football, really wanting to do sports medicine type work, travel and train with professional sports teams. And when I was in my early 20s, I had a child and realized that traveling 6 to 8 months out of the year probably wasn't the best style of parenting that I could come up with. And I had heard from a lot of my clients that were athletes and other people that just had extra money to invest at that time, that they just weren't getting good quality advice. And one of my original clients did recruiting for Washington Mutual. And for years, she had bugged me about, hey, you'd be great in finance. And I was like, you're crazy. I mean, I was 23, 24 years old and wearing shorts and a t-shirt to work, and was like, there's no way I want to work in a bank and wear a suit and tie. And finally, she was relentless about getting me into finance. And so I took a job working at a bank and started not really knowing what to do at that point either. Really just took the job and started putting the work in, putting the time and effort in. Then I started doing a lot of reading on building wealth and accumulating assets, and realized that I could go into kind of the mortgage side of finance, or I could go into the investment side. And for me, the investment and ability to give people overall advice was better to me than just doing the mortgage piece of it. So I ended up going and getting investment licensed, started as a financial advisor about 8 years ago, moved to a large national firm to manage a book of business there. And then last year, in the middle of the pandemic, decided that I needed to be able to do more for my clients and give them quality advice and not cookie cutter the portfolios, and, you know, really be adaptive. And that's where the name came from, to what their needs were at that time. And so we founded Adaptive Wealth Partners. We're working on a few additional locations that we're going to be opening up. We have two locations now in the Las Vegas area. We're at one in Reno. And really just expanding and bringing more like-minded advisors and clients together to better their financial journey.
That is super, super cool. And I like how you took the time to really talk about your journey, because everyone's journey is different. And just because you don't have that stair-step ladder and you may have that zigzag does not mean you're not going to get to your end goal, or you're not going to get to your period in life where you've arrived. And I think it's in those ups and downs and those roundabouts and U-turns that it really helps you bring out what your true purpose is and what your calling is. And it sounds like you're very relationship focused and you want to make sure you set your clients up for success, but you're also there to kind of guide them and give them what they need so they could to be successful.
Absolutely. It doesn't do our clients as financial advisors any good if we just give the financial advisor talk, right? I mean, when you go to the mechanic and get your oil changed and he starts talking about what type of oil, most people are just going to be like, I have no idea, whatever it says on the car's owner's manual. You know, and for me, financial advising should be personal, right? I mean, giving advice, and if I don't understand client's situation or what they have going on in life or what their fears are and wills are, it makes it hard to give quality advice. So for us, it's always about making the relationship first, making sure that not only are we the right fit for our clients, but also that our clients are the right fit for us. We want to make sure that, you know, it is that relationship, and you go through ups and downs that unfortunately in this country, most people don't talk about and don't deal with their finances in a positive way. So if we can go out and coach people to make better choices and be more mentally prepared for life, then we've achieved what we want to do. We just want to make a lasting impact on the world.
I like that. Now let's dive a little bit deeper, Michael, and let's talk about your mission statement for Adaptive Wealth Partners. And would you say that your mission statement is tied to your personal passion?
Absolutely. Passion is definitely the right word. I mean, being adaptive to the needs of those that we serve definitely is on the top of the list. I mean, every time we look at investments or do we open an office in a certain location, it's all always about where we can help clients out at. And some people come on as clients and some people just take some of the advice that we have and do kind of do it on their own. So it's always about going back and being true to yourself. And I think that there's not enough of that in the investment world out there, is being true to who you are and the values that you have. And you sort of build that value with the clients at the same time.
So what is the mission statement of Adaptive Wealth Partners, or the core values?
Yeah, I mean, the core values are always going to be centered around the client. So the client comes first. Client, family, research. We try to do as much research as we can versus just having an opinion of what's going on. We want to make sure that we've done the work behind it. So those are probably our top three core values, is those three things. And then as far as the mission statement, just being adaptive to the needs of those that we serve. So we want to make sure that as our clients' needs change, we have the flexibility within our practice to change as well and be that guiding light instead of just, you know, the brick wall that too many investors are slamming their heads up again when things go wrong and no one's answering and no one's talking to them and coaching them through what they have going on in life.
So for those listeners out there, what would you say to them who are interested in investing? They want to do smart investing. They want to do more in the generational wealth space, as well as learn and educate others. What would set apart your company versus your competitors?
Well, a lot of it's just going to be based on the research and the time. We spend a lot more hours than most advisors do with their clients. A lot of that's upfront, making sure that they're positioning things the right way. But you want to make sure that you're working with an investment firm or an investment team that has the time. I mean, a lot of the clients that we have come to us and they're like, well, this other guy says he manages 1,500 clients and he's going to meet with me two or three times a year. And so we just do the math for him. Like, 1,500 clients, the hours that they work, it's not realistic. So you need to have that personalized approach. We've put out on awpwealthbuilder.com an advisor audit that you can use both for your own self, because when you're not working with a financial advisor, you are the investment advisor. And so we put that out for people to know what types of questions to really ask their financial advisor, or things that they need to be thinking about when they're their own financial advisor and they're self-managing their investments.
I like that. And by you putting that tool out there, it almost seems kind of like a lead magnet too, because if you put that resource out there and it's obviously free, then that could in turn drive in clients to you, because you're already kind of giving them, you know, a little taste of what you do. And they're like, oh, wow, this investment firm puts out this information. Let me really dive in a little deeper to see what they're all about. Would you say that you use that as a lead magnet?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something where I'm a big believer in putting out as much information for people to use as possible. So the more we can make the world get into a better spot on their financial journey, whether that's working with us or working with somebody else, we've accomplished our goal. So we want to make sure that we're doing our best thing. That's inevitably, anytime you put out good quality content, going to bring clients to you. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I learned at an early age, was that no matter what industry you're in, you're always in a service industry. You're always serving your clients, serving your board members, serving your employees. So you've really just got to have that service mindset to be a successful business owner in this country. And we see a lot of that nowadays being put out there very, very free of charge for people to take advantage of. I mean, I talk with my kids probably once a week about how the world is literally now at your fingertips. I mean, I remember going through school, you know, and the teacher's like, you're never going to have a computer to look up how to spell this word, or you're never going to have a calculator in your pocket. Well, now we can run whole businesses from our phones and be able to have the world at, you know, just a fingertip away, and be able to network and get the information that we need to make better business choices and be successful in this world.
Yeah, that is so true. When I think about it, I was like, yeah, we've came a long ways with technology, from like the old school brick phones to now these smartphones. So now, early on, you mentioned that you started your business last year during the pandemic. So let's go a little bit deeper in this conversation, talk about obstacles and failures. So what have you had to overcome in your business to give you the incredible success that you see today? And the reason why I want to hit on obstacles and failures is because sometimes people see business owners and they put you all on a pedestal, but they fail to realize that you did face struggles, you did have challenges, but it was those struggles and challenges that led you to where you are now. So share one story with us of an obstacle or failure.
So probably my biggest one was not thinking about rental space for my office in terms of growth. So I had decided I was going to start spending money on a kind of a executive suite office, just because it was like, oh, it's got to be the cheapest thing out there, and made a poor financial decision, put some money behind that, and then realized, well, heck, if I'm going to have anyone else working in my office, I'm going to need more space. And I didn't ask the question, how much does additional space cost me? I just was like, oh, I got a good deal on my initial office. Well, it doubled to take and have an additional like 100 square foot office. So for me, it was a lot of learning by trying, by making, you know, decisions that aren't necessarily a bad decision. They helped me along and put me in the right spot. At the time, it was the right decision to do. But then the more I got to thinking about that, it definitely cost me some extra money that I wish I hadn't had to spend in that scenario, to look at getting a different location put together very quickly once I started hiring on additional staff. So that was really something where I didn't follow my own advice. I didn't look further and do more research once I found a location that I was comfortable with. I didn't realize at the time that I needed to take it a step further and ask a few more questions, or, you know, I'm big on T-charts where you put the benefits of one on one side and the benefits of one on the other. And once I had done that after the fact, I realized, hey, having a, you know, office that had more space in it, where maybe I was paying a little bit more upfront for that, but after 2 or 3 months, I would be breaking even on the same amount of space, made more sense. So not having to move and have that headache. So that was one of them. I mean, there's been a ton of them. I mean, you hire marketing companies that say they can do certain things and they can't, or they don't, or it's just not a measurable result. So deal with a lot of marketing companies that call me up and want to, you know, have me pay them to market my business. And I found that no one markets my business the way I market my business. No one's going to wake up at 4:30 in the morning and put in an extra hour of work for posts and sending out emails and things like that the way that I will. You know, they're going to be 8 to 4 or less, and they're going to, you know, tell me that they're going to get results. But if the result isn't there, then I got to take that off the table and do more of the work myself. So I always say that we've never stopped learning in business. As soon as you stop learning and stop transitioning in business, you stop growing. And when you stop growing, you're in trouble, especially in the financial industry.
I like how you shared that obstacle, because it's definitely those trial by error moments that really make you appreciate the ugly work and the money that it costs you up front and all of that stuff.
Well, but at the same time, it's also made me a better person, right? It's helped me be able mm-hmm. to go to my clients that are business owners and be like, what about if we did this? Or, you know, raise additional questions. And I think that that's the biggest thing for me as a business owner is, you know, it's better to start moving and start doing something than sitting there doing nothing. I mean, if the amount of time that I spent awake nights before I decided to launch my own business was so much that my wife put like a desk in my walk-in closet and was like, you need to go in there at night, not sit in bed and type on your computer because I can't sleep, you know. But I find a lot of people just have that fear of moving into a business, right? And that's a very normal thing for us as humans, is to focus on the negative. I mean, it's a thing that's kept us alive for thousands of years, is focusing on the negative and kind of being afraid of that. But if you've got an idea, just go out there and find ways to say yes and make it happen.
That is a great tip, Michael. Thank you so much for sharing that, because I definitely believe one of the listeners is going to resonate with that. So was there a specific turning point in your business, whether it was your marketing tactics that you learned, connections that you met and made along the way, business decisions, whether they were hard decisions or easy decisions, or et cetera, that took you from six figures to multiple six figures and higher?
A lot of it's relationships. When you leave a big company, a lot of times there's that fear of, well, who am I going to network with? What am I going to talk to people? Where am I going to bounce ideas off of? And I always say that there's a difference between having people in your circle and having people in your corner. So the people that are in my circle, I can trust that they're going to, you know, give me some good advice, but the people in my corner are going to tell me the things that I don't want to hear a lot of the times, or have that idea that, you know, yeah, that's a good idea, but you need to change this about it. They're not going to feed into me and say, oh, well, I want to stay friends with you, or I want to stay connected with you. So I want to make sure that, you know, I'm going to tell him what he wants to hear. Sometimes the best advice I've gotten is stuff that I don't want to hear. And I look back at it and I'm like, those were some of the big turning points on my business, is when someone was like, hey, why are you doing it this way? So we have this open door policy in my office where you're free to come up with your own ideas. I've actually challenged a couple of my assistants to like, try to make a mistake today, right? Try to do something that's so outside of your comfort zone that you mess it up. Not to the point where we're going to not be able to fix it, but, you know, try something that's different and make yourself a better person and make yourself a better, you know, employee and human being, because unless we get out of that comfort zone, we don't really grow. We don't expand, you know, and fortunately the world that we're in, you can still make good money at that. But those people that want to stretch it and want to improve each and every day, even if it's experiencing something negative that they mess up. So what? You messed up. Move on. Get to the next thing. Quit focusing on the negative. And it's hilarious because my wife will tell you, like, I'm the most pessimistic person in the world, but I got to fight that. So every single day I'm like fighting this, first thought out of my mind about anything is a negative thought. And that's human nature. That's what we have built generations upon, these negative thoughts of keeping us alive. And we need to be able to move past that. And that's a skill that fortunately can be learned, because for a long time, I didn't believe it could be learned. It was just always negative, and it takes time, but it doesn't take rocket science to fix it. Like, it's something as simple as doing one or two things a day, each and every day, to make your life better.
Wow. Whenever you said the first thought, I was like, oh my gosh, that really just takes it back, because I was like, I wouldn't have imagined those words coming out of your mouth, because I always see things like in an optimistic view. And sometimes I feel like sometimes when you see things in a pessimistic view, like how you start your day is the way you're going to end your day, is what I tell people. So if you start it with something negative, then you're already projecting negative energy and vibes to come to you, versus starting it on a positive high note to really create the atmosphere you want to walk into. But, you know, I always say different floats for different folks.
No, absolutely. But at the same time, there's going to be something in the middle of the day that you can't control. You know, like if you're sitting there and something bad happens, or I get this a lot in conversations with people that have like sales teams, they always talk to me about, well, we need to get 15 appointments each day. Well, that's great. But what if you call 200 people and no one answers the phone? What if you call 200 people and only 15 people answer the phone and you only set 5 appointments? Was that a bad day? I think as business owners, we have to change, especially for our staff, is who we owe it to, change the way we think about it. Control what you can control. And if our staff is going out there making the call volume that they need to make, or contacting this many people each day, or completing X number of tasks a day, celebrate that. Who cares if they got it right or got it wrong? They did the task and they did what was in their job description to do. You can't control what everyone else does. So, you know, yes, starting the day in a positive way can influence how you get to the end of the day. But at the same time, we have to take these victories along the way and know that we need to redefine the victories. Instead of it being a sales type victory, where we cross the finish line, sometimes it's taking the first step. Especially as business owners, you have to look at that and say, you know what, sometimes I don't want to take this step, but I have to take this step because it's the right thing to do.
And there you have it. There's some optimism there from Michael Eichmann. So what are your last tips, since we're winding down, that you would like to leave the listeners as well as the viewers with?
So I'd say the biggest tip that I have is keep it simple, right? Everyone wants to create a huge business plan, or we do 60 to 100 page financial plans. The clients don't remember that. The staff members don't remember that. They remember the times where we talk about, hey, have enough in emergency cash. Make sure you have extra money to take advantage of opportunities. Make sure that you're in the right investments for what your needs are. So between that and just finding a way to be positive and work yourself into a better position than you woke up in, you'll do fine in life.
Great tip. Keep it simple. You don't need to have all the bells and whistles. Take the first step, step outside of your comfort zone, do the right thing. Even though you don't feel like doing it, it's those steps that help you unlock where you want to go. And you just heard it here with Michael Eichmann. He's going to go ahead and close us out and tell us once again who he is, the name of his business, and how you can connect with him on social media, as well as leave his personal contact information so you can network with him, not his VA. Take us away, Michael.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening today. My name is Michael Eichmann with Adaptive Wealth Partners in Las Vegas, Nevada. If you go to awpwealthbuilder.com, you can get our connection, schedule an appointment, get our phone number, and you can also download a couple free resources that we have on there as well.
And there you have it, listeners. Once again, I'm your host, Genesis Amaris Kemp, and you just heard Michael Eichmann here on How I Scale Service Podcast. Until we chat next time, have a great one.
Caitlin here. Thank you so much for listening to the How I Scaled Service Podcast. If you're a business owner who has successfully scaled their business to multiple six figures or more, and you would like to be on this program, visit risingranksdigital.com/apply. And if you got something out of this interview, I would love for you to share it with your network. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on your social channels. If you know someone that would be a great guest, make sure to tag them to let them know about the show and include the hashtag #HowISCaledService. I love seeing your posts and your guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and truly mean a lot to my team and me. Want to stay in our world? Go to our website, risingranksdigital.com, or follow me on LinkedIn at Caitlin Strumpel, Facebook at Rising Ranks Digital, and Instagram at Caitlin Strumpel. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.